Hey, hey, hey. Welcome. Welcome to the Frenzer Forum and Animation Forum.
That's right.
Day.
It's a national holiday.
It's just been announced.
Yep.
By us. To yep. you. We are rocking out here in Brooklyn, New York.
What?
And we are the official, unofficial, official podcast of the Animation World Network.
AWN.com.
You know, Alan.
What?
Do you know yourself?
Hmm? What?
Do you know Alan?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm into uncomfortable entertainment.
Okay.
Like, you know those BBC documentaries about those living baby dolls?
No.
You know the bride statues that are frozen until you give them a coin?
No.
You know the, Transformers 2. Uncomfortable.
Haven't seen it.
Entertainment. But you know what I love the most? It's actually probably the best invention of 2009, 8, or 7.
The iPad?
No. This is beyond the iPad.
For entertainment?
It's for
3D movies.
No, for uncomfortable entertainment. The latest advances for that. I'm speaking, of course, of mounting your flat screen above your fireplace. Beautiful. Beautiful. I would sit there and watch films for hours. I loved having my neck bend into new shapes.
Wait, who does that? I haven't seen anybody do that.
No. It's all over the place. Look at any magazine. It's what you do. It's modern design. You have your hearth. You have your flat screen above your hearth. Now, I started to develop a little bit of a crick in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see my chiropractor.
You have a chiropractor?
I got one because of this. And I said, doctor.
They're not real doctors, you know.
I know. His birth name was Doctor.
Oh, cool.
It was Mr. Doctor. I said, what can I do? It's starting to hurt. And he said, you know, in order to avoid getting a throat hump, you need to come up with another way of getting your entertainment that's more ergonomic to you.
Yeah.
And he suggested bed rest.
Okay.
So you know what I did?
You went to bed.
Took my iPod. I taped it to my ceiling fan.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. Now, I was reclined, relaxed, many pillows, looking straight up. And I was watching all of my favorite iTunes movies.
Yeah, like what?
I was watching, you know, Spider-Man 3.
But that seems like an awfully small screen.
Yeah, and it's rotating.
To be that far away.
It's rotating.
Yeah.
It was great. It was like this great blur of cinema.
It doesn't sound great.
Well, it was almost like having a circular television, which many people haven't thought about. Except, you know what happened with that?
It flew off.
I started to develop an eye strain problem,
okay,
which led to headaches.
Did you have circular eye?
I had circular eye.
Yeah.
I was dizzy all the time. People thought I was on acid, but I was just coming off of my iPod ceiling fan entertainment system. So
you had to go to an eye doctor.
I went to the eye doctor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine what he said?
He's like, you gotta stop doing that and find a more ergonomic way to get your entertainment.
Right. Or a different way of seeing entertainment, of experiencing entertainment, uncomfortable entertainment. Because, I mean, I realize I'm not the only one that loves this trend. Why would you put a television above your fireplace? Anyway, so what I did, Alan, then.
Uh-huh. Who has a fireplace anymore? Nobody.
Oh, I built a fake fireplace in my house so I could put the screen above it.
I've got a fireplace.
Do you have your screen above it?
No.
So, my friends, you weren't included in this. My other friends.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the invite.
They saw my plight.
Yeah.
They wanted to help. They wanted to intervene.
Okay.
One night, I was just lying in my bed with the ceiling fan off, still watching season 6 of Friends.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my friends came in. Ah, fake kidnapping. They took me over to the garage. where they had a powder keg
mm-hmm.
full of thumbtacks and epoxy solution.
Okay.
And they crammed me into it. There was one tiny little eye hole drilled out.
Yeah.
And they rolled me to the movie theater where guess what was playing?
Spider-Man 5.
Avatar.
Ooh, Avatar.
In 2D. They rolled me in. They knew how much I loved uncomfortable entertainment.
Yeah.
And they put me upside down in the front row. And I watched that movie from a tiny eye hole. And it was painful.
I bet.
And I loved it.
Sounds awful.
So for all of you folks out there with your Hearth flat screen TVs, you are missing out. There are more ways to enjoy uncomfortable entertainment.
Hmm. That's food for thought, Joel.
Food for thought. Ooh, I never thought about food. Alan.
Yes, Joel.
It's the 4th of July weekend.
Weekling?
It's the
4th of July weekling.
It is the 4th of July weekend.
It is.
What does that mean to you?
Hot dogs and hamburgers, man. Fireworks, family fun.
Keep going.
Good, honest parading.
Yeah? What else?
Flags. Freedom.
Yeah.
Independence.
And?
And
no guests.
Yeah. Everybody's out of town.
It seems like on the 4th of July, a podcast is far from minds.
I think it was kind of a bad idea to do our recording session this weekend.
Well, is it ever a good idea if you really think about it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So what are we going to do?
I was thinking we should talk about our favorite presidents.
Oh.
Of the United States.
Harry S. Truman.
Truman? Why?
He was a hardworking man.
Yeah, blue collar.
He hated the idea of corruption.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the perfect Boy Scout.
I was going to say Garfield, because I like lasagna, too.
And I also hate Mondays.
I do. Mondays are awful.
And I hate my owner's dog, Odie.
Oh, what a dick.
He's such an asshole.
So since we don't have a guest...
Yes. And we've run out of things to talk about.
And we've run out of things to talk about.
They're current.
Why don't we just turn the show over to somebody else?
Who?
That's a good question. There's nobody here. Well, we've got each other.
That is true.
We've got each other.
We always have each other.
So we could talk to each other.
All right.
In the first episode, do you remember the very first episode of the Friends of Form and Animation
Forum? Was
that
episode number two?
It was episode one.
Okay.
And our guest was Anthony Francis Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Who is an animator on Rock Band.
He might be our first repeat guest, perhaps. What do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, I think that would be great. Or maybe have him guest host.
Yeah.
You know, or co-host with us.
Yeah.
You know, triple host.
Yeah.
Three hosts, one guest.
That's crazy.
Anyway, in that episode, in the beginning of the episode, we kind of did little mini get-to-know-yas with each other.
Oh.
You remember that?
Get-to-know Alan. Get-to-know Joel. Yeah, I remember.
Well, maybe for this episode, we could go a little more under the surface.
Ooh.
You know? Dive deeper in.
Past my epidermis?
Yeah. Get beyond the epidural area.
Yeah.
Get right up in your inguinal
region. Next to the Golgi bodies.
And then we'll swim around through the soft,
eukaryotic
luscious
fluids
that make Joel Frenzer what he is.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So let's do that.
Wait, if we're going to do this, if we're saying we're doing this, we got to do it right.
Okay.
Alan, I want to go out into the summoning room and be summoned by computer.
Okay. Let's do it.
Really?
Go on out there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Wait, whoa. I've never been in this room before.
It's nice.
Hey, yeah. You should check this out. We have...
No, I decorated
bar,
it. Yeah.
Open bar.
Do you like what I did with it? Thanks. I made that bar.
I'll take a Manhattan.
Yeah. So, this week on the forum, special guest, Joel Frenzer. Computer, summon him. Joel Frenzer, everybody.
Whoa. Computer, wow. I had no idea it felt like that. Whoa. Our guests are so lucky.
I know.
Wow.
Are they
ever? How come
ever?
It's nicer out in our green room than it is in the studio? I've never been to the green room.
You gotta put the money where it counts.
Okay. Wow, so, this place is so spacious. It's so great to be here.
Hey,
thanks for having me, guys.
Sure, thanks for being here.
This is really exciting. I listen every week.
Oh, good.
Big fan.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. What's your favorite part of the show?
God, I love it when you talk about animation.
That's good.
I love it when you play your games.
Yeah.
I love it when you go off topic.
Okay.
I love the variety of guests.
Yeah.
I love it when it's not even funny.
Yeah.
And I especially love commenting on it all the time. Do you comment? On AWN. All the time.
Do you leave comments?
It's so easy.
Do you leave comments on our Facebook page too?
Oh, sure.
Oh, good.
Facebook, your Twitter account.
Twitter.
Use that to its fullest.
AWN.
I went to your FFAF.com page and was upset to not see it there.
Well, that's because we haven't made it yet.
Oh, okay.
We're still working on it.
Oh, please make it.
But it's in progress. The ball has just begun to roll, my friend.
Okay. Everyone's been talking about. I mean, everyone that I know and everyone that I know listens to it.
Can I give you a little insider scoop?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Keep your eye out.
Whoa.
For FFAF merchandise.
Nope.
That's right.
Really?
Coming soon.
Should I keep just one eye out for it?
Yeah, probably, okay. Because it might take a little while, but it's on its way. T-shirts, stickers, fun things like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because you know what?
Tell me.
We got to raise a little money here.
Oh.
I got to be honest.
What's happening?
It costs money to make a podcast.
Did you know that? It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I hear it every year from National Public Radio. Yeah,
well, they're right.
I hear it from Ira Flato.
Flato, that motherfucker.
I hear it from Ira Glass.
Yeah, all the Iras.
Just from the Iras.
Yeah, only the Iras.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thanks for...
I'll buy 8,000 t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy everything.
Buy one for your family for Christmas.
Well, you guys... Here's a suggestion only
all
from
right,
a fan.
Okay.
What if... On your site, you had something about contacting you to come and I would fly you to wherever I live, put you up in a nice hotel, and you could give me, my friends, or my class, if I'm a teacher, grade school, high school, college, PhD programs, tutorials about animation and how it's made. Could you do that?
Oh, yeah, we could do that. Oh, that's easy. Are you kidding?
Who's your booking agent?
Computer.
Computer.
You just send an email.
Computer?
Yeah, I sent an email.
Computer, what do you think about that? Are you okay with that?
I've talked with him about that. So what you do is you send an email to friendsorforeman@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's friendsorforeman@gmail.com. And send your request.
Is that Gmail with one G?
Yeah, one G.
Okay.
We'll put it up on the site.
Okay. Well, I'm not even nervous.
Yeah.
So what do you want to know?
What shoe size are you?
I have been binding my feet lately. I'm down to a one.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Summertime. Nice.
That's great. Yeah. Well, you gotta suffer for your fashion.
I have a corset on my ankle.
That's weird. Why is that? Because you feel like you have cankles?
They swell.
In the summer.
In the heat.
Yeah. No. Let's talk about your work.
Okay.
The work that you've made.
Yeah.
The work that you plan to make
animation,
or the work that you want to make.
And also later
on we'll do that first.
Okay,
we'll talk about your work, and then after that we'll talk about your teaching, because that's been a great deal of your work lately.
It's occupied my time,
the teaching,
in a good way.
Yeah. So let's first talk about your work.
Okay.
Go.
Well,
your work, go do it.
As stated, my name is Joel Frenzer. And I am an animator.
Really?
I'm also a teacher of animation. And I make work as I teach. So I have my teaching side. I have my own practice side.
You're a working teacher.
I'm a working teacher.
So do you find most teachers who teach at the college level for art are working teachers?
Most are. And it provides the opportunity to really delve into your own work and be supported at the same time. So it's a good combo. So I try to take advantage of this as much as possible. So I have a good working schedule for my own artwork. And it fits nicely with having this social outlet as well to go and talk to students. And for them, they're getting a lot of information. But for me, it's also good just to hear myself say some of the things that are in my brain out to other people.
And that way, is it sort of a double education for them? Because
Because
not only are they learning techniques, I imagine you teach technical things like technique, and technical things like how to use different pieces of equipment and different software. But they're also learning from a person who is still learning and working himself.
Yes. And I, what I loved when I was in school was hearing my teachers talk about things that they themselves are currently also working on.
Mm-hmm.
And in my position, I found that I could do that effectively and give them a solid example of how it works.
Right.
One thing is work ethic, which I think students always question, and especially when they get into a project and feel that they hate it mm-hmm. and want to move on to the next one. So part of my teaching has been to address that and say, every artist, once they get into their project, at some point hates what they're doing and wants to move on to another thing. But you can prevent a lot of this by knowing that you're first just practicing something. So the idea of artistic practice comes into play, and that being something that's every day, and then learning how to build on something the right way. So it's not a chore, so that you get into it and build momentum.
Yeah.
So a good way of doing that for me is with a new project, start out with just working 30 minutes a day. And it could be about anything. If you want to just try out a technique, for instance, you have no idea if it's going to be a film or anything.
Right.
And I also love, we can talk about this a little bit more, but I love how endless the technical possibilities are for animation. There's so many different animation techniques.
Don't you find that a little frustrating or a little daunting sometimes? Don't you think having too many options is a hindrance?
No. Not really? Not for me
in
particular, because I like to do a different technique for each new project. And
I just find having too many options makes choice difficult.
To me, it feels more like I'm inventing something.
Mm-hmm.
The projects feel less like I'm going to make an animated film, and more so at the beginning, I want to see how this looks.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to take a light bright,
okay,
and animate the magic of colored light.
I love light bright.
And then zoom in, use a macro lens even. And so now the lights are big, and moving them around like making a new mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
And then changing the whole, take a picture, change the whole scene, take another picture. When I play that back, I'm always surprised by what that is. And I kind of let that feeling dictate what it is. As opposed to starting with, here's my story idea. I'm going to go and start here. I sometimes do that, but I also like this idea, daily work as an artist, not even animator, to just try these different things and see what happens and surprise myself. And mm-hmm. I really like that.
Yeah.
And so let's go with our light bright.
Okay.
I might try that on a Monday at 10 o'clock.
PM.
Sure.
PM. Okay.
And I will do a test. It might take me a half hour. Let's say it does. At the end of a half hour, I am going to be done with that for the day. Let's say I just did a little test. I saw how it looked zoomed in. I made a little QuickTime movie and said, okay, now what? I stop when I say, okay, now what?
Okay.
Let it go.
Yeah.
And this has no meaning right now, which is also good. I'm not trying to make a project. It has no...
You're playing.
I'm playing around.
Yeah.
I'm still playing.
Yeah.
And inventing.
Mm-hmm.
So the 24 hours in between.
Are you inventing or reventing?
I'm venting.
Okay.
What I do then is say, okay, for this test, tomorrow, Tuesday, at 10 AP.
Okay.
I am going to do the exact same thing again and only spend a half hour on it. You can't help, I've found, to not think about the project in the 24 hours in between. And sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm now out in the world and I'm buying groceries. And
what did you pick up?
Pineapple.
Just one?
Looked at the pineapple, just one. No, I had two, but I looked at just one.
Right.
And I noticed the diamond-shaped structure of a pineapple,
right?
For instance. I then, that night, I dream about pigeons.
Okay? Sure, who doesn't?
Next day in the shower,
uh-huh.
I'm feeling relaxed, nice hot shower, and all of a sudden the feeling of floating through outer space enters my brain. Then
Are you floating through outer space in a spacesuit or without a spacesuit? Because you wouldn't last long without the spacesuit.
I'm floating in my new football-shaped diamond spacecraft.
Excellent.
The next day at 10 AP,
yeah,
I go back to the light bright. All of a sudden, I start making diamond shapes.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they are feeding off of other little specks of one light that I say, that could be kind of like popcorn for a pigeon.
Or they could be pooping it.
They could be pooping it. Let's just go with that. They're pooping
it. Yeah.
The diamond is now pooping out.
It's flying and pooping.
It's, let's say it's a yellow diamond against a red background, and it's pooping out a white, one light bright.
White.
What do you call a light bright? Bright.
Light.
It's a light. It's one called light. One light.
Yeah. One. We could, just for the lack of a better term, call it a pixel.
One lixel.
Lixel, because it's real light.
It's a light pixel. Yeah. Uh-huh. And one little lixel comes out, and then you think it's pooping it, but actually it then starts orbiting it, floating in space. All of a sudden, the project has a point of view, almost. If you keep building that all throughout the week, you get to Friday, you will have something that is invariably different than if you started on Saturday and worked for 5 hours.
You think?
For me, I
yeah.
know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. This is why I tell my students when they're working.
What do they say?
They say, gosh darn it, I'm going to give that a shot.
Do they really say gosh darn
Professor
it?
Professor Frenzer Doctor, which I make them call me.
Professor Dr. Frenzer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see the results.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while, but it takes the pressure off of them, too.
To come up with a solid
come
idea,
up with an
right,
idea.
Off, right on the first day.
You can start.
And say, this is going to be my film. And
yeah. And saying, artistic practice. Try it every day.
Does that at any point get them in danger of not completing a project? Because the unfortunate nature of school is that you have to have a finished product and you have to get a grade.
You well,
know? Do they ever get caught in a loop of just playing too much and not formulating?
My job is to then keep them on task.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm talking about right now is an Animation 2 class.
Okay. Yeah, Animation 1 is probably...
Arena.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Animation 1 is probably just mostly techniques and learning.
I'm just gonna take a leap and go to Animation 1 and then come back to Animation 2 and then talk about Animation 3 to answer the question you just asked.
Holy shit. All right, here we go.
All right. Animation 1.
That,
and this has been something that being a teacher in college is great because of the freedom for the curriculum and the pedagogy.
Mm-hmm. Good word.
And over the years, I've been able to really hone this and try different things and see if they work. And what I do now for Animation 1, students come in, I tell them very clearly something that you totally agree with. You don't need to know how to draw to be a successful animator in the world.
All right, you know I don't agree with that, but go ahead.
Well, for me, animation's different from something like painting or even film in terms of strictly, it's not a medium-based art form. It's the movement. It's movement-based. It's how to control movement frame by frame.
Okay.
And
time and movement.
Time and movement. All you need to have is a good sense of that. A good sense of timing and movement.
Well, you know, as I've told you before,
yeah.
I'm a fan of classical training.
Yeah.
I think having a strong drawing background is important to any of the arts.
Well, there's drawing and then there's illustrating. So everyone can draw.
You can draw a line.
You put a mark down a piece of paper, it's going to be distinctly your mark.
Right.
And you can make an abstract film that way.
I'm not talking about illustration. I'm just talking about drawing.
But what this very thing, though,
uh-huh.
frees students up.
Yeah.
If their drawing skills just aren't that strong to begin with, they don't feel like they're an outsider. They can still come in. And I start showing films that are made without any drawing. I help them with their drawing, too. But it allows people to come in and realize, oh, this is very different from what we usually associate animation to be in the world.
What is their preconceived notion when they come in? What do they see animation as?
Anime?
Uh-huh.
South Park?
Cartoons, mostly.
Cartoons. Feature-length animation is usually always, you know, 3D.
Right.
Drawn.
Gross.
And for me, when I started looking at animation, I was thinking the same thing. And it was, for me, such a relief to go to a place, RISD, where they did something similar. It was taking a big step backwards and saying, look at what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I kind of started to see the notion of It's about movement. If you really break it down to its atomic level, we associate it to be these other things, but really it's about a sense of movement frame by frame and controlling that. And that's a whole other art form, knowing how to do that. To come back to my Animation 1 class, I just then throw them into different techniques. So we cover three different techniques in the class.
Which are?
Hand-drawn.
Right.
Flipbook.
Uh-huh.
I then show them how to draw on punched paper.
Mm-hmm.
I then show them hinged cutout using paper animation. And then we do stop motion animation. And I used to have them build puppets.
Right.
But now I've moved on to what we talked about before.
Right.
The surprise question mark box.
Yeah.
So I throw them into these projects and I say, the first project, don't worry about it. Just make something. Then show them how to capture that into the computer, photographing it in, how to edit. For each one, I also have them do sound.
Yeah. You got it.
So my class is Animation 1, Techniques and Sound. If you learn both at the same time, you understand how they both marry together.
Yeah.
I'm now crossing my fingers. And Alan's looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach them how to record sound. We do a Foley soundtrack to their cutout animations when they're done. We then record individual sounds in one at a time into a Pro Tools setup for their stop motion project. So they learn how to create a soundtrack in the computer and learn how to mix and do all that and output and export. And that gives them so much confidence. They end up having five projects when they're done in Animation 1 that it's almost going back to how kids draw. I'm not giving them all these parameters. I'm giving them enough.
Right.
But it's not, you have a big film due at the end of the semester.
Right.
And also with Animation 1, as they're working on things, I'm going around as they're working and suggesting things that are actually teaching them the principles of animation.
Like what? Give me an example. Stretch.
Well,
say I'm working on a project and you come over to me, and I'm.
What are you working on?
Let's say it's the cutout.
Yeah.
The cutout thing, and I've got my characters, and I'm starting to hinge them.
Yes.
But maybe I'm not hinging them quite the right way. Maybe I'm using, those little brass looking hinges that you get from a stationery store that have the two wings on the back. Is that what you guys use to hinge?
No. So the first thing I would say is why are you using those? Because I just did a whole demo on how to construct it with thread.
Okay. Let's say I'm working on a drawn animation.
Yes.
And I'm doing an animation of a cat slapping a boy's face.
Why would you ever do that?
I don't know.
Out of the blue.
I don't know.
Weird.
And I'm at the frame of contact, where the paw is hitting the face.
Yep. What would I suggest maybe at that point?
Yeah.
Most students, when they're first starting off, will have the hand go back to start the movement of the slap.
Mm-hmm.
They will draw it equal distances each time to the face and then have it stop dead on the face.
Okay.
I would not at that point go into a whole dissertation on character animation because they are not ready to hear that.
Right.
Instead, I give them little hints and say, if you take out these seven frames and have the hand cocked back and ready to slap, and then maybe have one more that's close to the hand cocked back as your next movement, and then right on the face, and then turn the head and have that movement follow through, that will give you more speed and impact. So, and little things like that.
Right.
Especially with the cutout, when they're starting the cutout, it's easier to do this with that.
Right. Because then I wouldn't say, but I already drew all those seven in betweens.
Right.
I want to use them because I drew them and they're perfect.
And I would say, you can use them.
Yeah.
Let me just show you. And I have them render out a movie and I take it out in QuickTime Pro.
Right.
And usually they say, hot damn.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
So with cutout, though, I can really get into the idea of hairline movements and how much those mean to making a fluid movement.
Ins and outs of
the idea of ease in and ease out.
Right.
So I do that in Animation 1. I don't have them do the bouncing ball in Animation 1.
Fuck that.
I don't have them do these.
I never did the bouncing ball.
Well, that's because you're afraid of tennis balls. I don't have them do these exercises
mm-hmm.
before they actually make a final film with sound and animation and all the editing. Because if they do that afterwards, they have something to relate it to that they've made. It's mm-hmm. not relating it to some Disney film that they've seen, right. but actually something they made.
Right.
So in Animation 2, when they come in, I do an exercise all about the principles
do you tell
of
them
animation.
You don't need to wear pants to be a good animator.
And I exemplify that.
By not wearing pants.
By only wearing a coconut.
Yeah.
But not on my crotch.
Coconut skirt.
On my shoulder.
Right.
So in Animation 2, it's fun to come up with different ways of visualizing before you dive in.
Mm-hmm.
The very first project I do is I have tape marks throughout the room, and they have to move the tripod of the camera to yeah. each tape mark and take one frame of a circle that I have on the wall in right. front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the tape marks have an ease in and ease out. Mm-hmm. That's one path. Another path might all be even. The other path... even and then very slow ease out. We then watch these and we talk about them, and they can see it right away. They talk about the difference, you know, in each one, and that's what I then show them as the timing charts. And I draw right. the line, and I draw the tick marks, and I say path one, if you were to make a timing chart, looks like this. Now it's very clear and simple and easy for them to do. It doesn't take a lot of time. But it makes it easier to then talk about the next part. So then we dive into the principles of animation.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about all of them. And
which are?
Ease in, ease out. Mm-hmm. Squash, stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Staging.
Okay.
Anticipation.
Uh-huh.
Solid design.
Yeah.
Ease in, ease out.
Uh-huh.
Follow through.
Right.
Secondary action.
Uh-huh.
Settling.
Okay.
I added... Yeah. to it, and like a hand moving and then settling slowly.
Right.
You're welcome, nine old men. And there's like another one, but I go over all of those and then we're done. And I tell them, like, this is the technical
and
stuff
that's the end
that
of
we're
the
gonna
year?
Do. And we walk away and have ice cream.
Yeah, it sounds good.
In the dead of winter.
Oh man, I want an
so
ice cream.
Then yeah. I move them on to, okay, now you're gonna make your own animated film short by the end of the year. 15 seconds maximum.
Wow. That's pretty restrictive.
Well, the thing is,
uh-huh.
and I show plenty of work that is 15 seconds or shorter
right.
for them. The thing is, it's not just animating it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teaching them to be independent filmmakers, mm-hmm. really, that do animation. So we then, for the rest of the semester, go through all of the steps. So, you know, coming up with the idea, how to keep that going. 30 minutes a day every day. Some people do storyboards. Talk about those. And then at a certain point, I say, you know, the animation has to be done by this time. Now start working on sound. Sound has to be done this time. Now start working on editing.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's a week to go back and do extra sound that you didn't have. And then here's a week of fine-tune editing. And then here's a week of outputting the right way. And if you do something that's 15 seconds maximum, you can cover all of those things and you see the big picture
mm-hmm.
of it. I tell them, once you achieve that, you can do any duration. To get back to your question,
I think,
was mentioning that
yeah.
My job is to facilitate that. When they go into Animation 3, they have a much better understanding of it. And my job becomes different. It's also facilitating, but helping them to really pick out the best parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Really dive into the project. Not just making it and finishing it, but the qualities of it, making it unique and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you apply that to your own work and your films in the past? How have you
applied that? Well, what are some of your favorite films that I've made?
Oh, well,
it's hard to pick.
I think I've always been a fan of Brisket, which was your student film.
Yes, labor intensive.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that a little bit? Explain Brisket to the people out there
Brisket.
Who have not seen it. And if you haven't seen it, you can see it online, right?
You can see it online at my YouTube page.
Uh-huh. And what's the web address for that?
YouTube.JoelFrenzer1.
Okay.
YouTube channel.
All right.
So Brisket was a 35mm film that I made
mm-hmm.
my senior year, year-long
mm-hmm.
project.
Mm-hmm.
This follows exactly what I was just talking about. now diving into the specifics of the project.
Right.
And when students want to get into a longer term project, they don't know where to start with their idea. We usually start talking about their lives.
Where did your idea start for Brisket?
For me.
Yeah.
I was in Portugal in 1998.
Oh, really?
At the World's Expo in Lisbon, Portugal, representing the United States.
No, you weren't.
As a performer. And
really?
I'm dead serious.
Wow, okay.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I was performing for America Day.
Really? What did you perform for America Day?
I was performing with the Big Nazo Puppet Company.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Where I played a multitude of characters in giant puppet costumes, hand puppet and costume combined, kind of like Big Bird.
All right.
Full band.
Okay.
And we were performing some rock and roll songs and had this other story involved. We were performing with Up With People.
Okay.
And B.B. King.
And Down With People. B.B. King. Did you meet B.B. King?
Yes, we did.
How was
he? Is he doing okay? He's doing just fine.
Oh, good.
Just
fine. Do you still stay in touch?
Yeah. Oh, all the time.
Good.
I talked to Lucille.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was mesmerized by their seafood displays.
Mm-hmm.
Lisbon, right on the ocean. They actually have the ocean crash up onto roads in Lisbon.
Cool.
And they just let it be. It's a marriage.
They just leave the ocean right on the road?
Yeah.
Does it make driving hard?
It does.
All right.
Yeah. There are waves that will hit your car.
So I loved it.
So anyway.
What were their seafood displays like?
Here we are in a grocery store.
Yeah.
It was every animal from the sea you could imagine.
Okay.
And things that maybe you've never even seen.
Right.
They had like phosphorescent deep sea fish with the little antenna with the glowing eye hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds disgusting.
Stuffed with cheese.
Did you eat one?
No. Okay. But they were beautiful. It looked like a crazy altar.
I could never go there.
No, you do not go there.
I'm allergic, so.
You're probably allergic to Lisbon.
I probably would be.
Yeah.
If I set foot there, I would just probably explode.
So there I was, thinking of how Alan would explode.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the seafood counter, and all of a sudden, there's a sound behind me. It's a shuffling sound.
Yeah.
Heavy shuffling sound.
And what was it? Did you turn around and look?
I turned around. Yeah. What did I see? Little old lady.
Uh-huh.
About 3 feet tall, dragging a bucket that was about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Down the aisle.
Yeah.
She stops within 10 feet of the counter, reaches in, and pulls out a gigantic octopus. Throws the octopus.
Yeah.
15 feet.
Okay.
Its arms flail out.
Yeah.
It's trying to reach back to the ocean, but no, it's now at the mercy of gravity, flies over my head, over the counter, and into a sink in the back.
Wow.
And it
nice
goes
toss.
Blonk.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
For the butcher to go over and start hacking it up to put into the altar of seafood.
Oh, my God.
I saw this. My friend was across the way, didn't even notice him. He watched the same thing, and slowly our heads met up, and we looked at each other, mouths agape,
yeah.
And the look we gave each other was, my God, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
So I made a film about it. It's called Brisket. But that having a personal story like that really does fuel a film because it's your own unique experience and you've seen it. And then you could alter it, which I did in the film. And so watch the film.
Okay, so flashing forward a little bit.
Yes.
Paper Bears.
Paper Bears. That was 2006.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have a faster economy of working on animated films. The usual practice, as maybe you've heard, and you from our guests, that sometimes it will take 3 years, 4 years, 5 years to work on an independent animated film.
Oh, yeah, because you got to pay the bills.
Got to pay the bills. Now, I appreciate that type of work ethic and patience with it. I wanted to see if I could do something faster and to highlight my, I would say, love of performing.
Okay.
Either voices or acting or whatever. How could I combine the two faster? So I have some character voices that I've built up and practiced. And my wife at the time, Amber, she and I were working on this story, which involves several characters that we came up with. and she was going to kind of play the human, straight human character, and I was going to play the different characters. So we went in to my recording studio that I've made out of PVC pipe and started ad-libbing just a practice thing to get us warmed up. Okay. Warmed up. It was this little boy and his tiger, and they were just interacting, and they started talking about eating paper, and we had paper there. I started crumpling it up. We did this thing. It was very short. Went on to record for an hour, our other bit. I went back to the computer later, started listening to the session. The first part we did, I couldn't believe the timing in it. It was so fluid, so conversational. It felt so real. The stuff afterwards was needed a lot of editing, needed to be cut up a lot, and there were mistakes and all this stuff. And I said, why don't I just animate this first part? Right. Just let it go, or go with this feeling. And I then made cutouts for it. I made flat paper puppets. So I learned a lot of lessons. It was a short piece. It's three minutes long. Shot it in my basement studio. Took about 4 months to make it. And I kept it simple. Simple background. Just plain black felt with a little bit of a window and like a wall line. And the characters I made colorful out of felt and had them have a lot of expression. So I spent time on making the puppets. But then it was cut out, so I could animate faster, and it was great. So I made that project, and I was thinking, well, now I could just make another one. I learned all this stuff, except I have this inclination to try something new each time. And I think in my career, Alan, we'll call it that.
Okay.
With these different projects, I think I will come back to other ones later. But right now, it feels really good to keep this flow going.
Right.
When I was editing that one, in Final Cut, I had frames of animation, and I started scrubbing over those frames of animation, and lo and behold, what did I see?
Movement.
Yes, I did. The mouth was moving up and down. And I'm thinking, why did I animate that? Why don't I just scrub back and forth over it, record the scrubbing?
Right.
Then I could actually make it a digital puppet.
Yeah.
And use it for the whole project.
Yeah.
More economy of time.
Yeah.
So my next project, I also felt, I think it's time to get out from behind the camera, go in front of the camera, and do some stop motion pixelation. Why not?
Beatbox bastard.
The beatbox bastard was born.
Yeah.
Bitch.
And I love it. I wish there were more episodes.
Thank you.
I think you should do a whole series.
I would definitely do a whole series.
Yeah.
That's one I want to come back to. I've actually written several of them. They're all ready to go. But the idea with that was performing in front of the camera, knowing that I would scrub over the frames later.
Right.
And re-record that to make the movement. And that was shot frame by frame and was supposed to be a test. But the footage came back and I liked it so much, I decided I want to make a full picture. Full film.
Yeah.
A full picture.
Yeah. A whole talkie.
And although one thing that I saw was this jerky movement back and forth. I hate when films, maybe hate's too strong of a word. Okay. I like it in films.
All right.
When everything is fully considered. So a reason why there's something. So in my world, these characters are kind of jerking back and forth. And I wanted the sound to maybe reflect that. And the idea that came to me to make that all blend together would be to make him a beatboxing character.
Yeah.
So his beats control temporal space.
Okay.
And that's how he became a beatboxing guy. And then I thought it'd be funny if he was a jerk. So the beatbox bastard.
Yeah.
Fun alliteration.
Yeah.
And so that was great because that was a different way of performing. And all of that was shot in one day.
Wow.
Four different locations one day.
But.
Tell me.
The editing afterwards.
Yes.
How long did that take?
4 months.
Yeah.
Which was fine because I learned a lot from that. In fact, they were all HD still images. So, and I was editing at a 720 by 480 frame.
Wow.
I'm holding up to Alan right now. You can see the difference visually.
Oh, I know the difference.
So I had all that space of the giant HD 1920 by 1080 frame to play with. So I was creating my own cinematography. I could zoom into a part. I could pan a part. no tripod when we shot. So I was going over, putting opacity on one, and re-lining up each frame because it was too jerky.
Right.
So next time I do it, tripod.
Tripod, yeah.
But that could have shaved off 2 months.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. And so I've continued on this path. And real quickly, I know, because I know it's the next question in your brain. And I hate talking about this. I mean, this is hard for me to do.
But I'll just keep going. All right, keep going.
I started to peel away different layers of the production.
Okay.
I then started to make found footage films.
Yeah.
And this was taking footage from the TV show Lost.
Yeah.
Where I impersonated Aaron Littleton. Baby Aaron, who was also then 3 years old on the show.
Infant Aaron.
And he was a bad actor on the show.
Yeah.
He would be looking at the camera.
Oh, so bad.
He couldn't say his lines. I felt bad for the kid.
I didn't.
That's, well, you maybe... You are just evil.
I was just glad they stopped showing it.
Are you like Cigna?
Maybe.
You just hate kids.
I don't hate children.
You just hate. I understand if you hate Aaron Littleton.
I just hated Aaron on that show.
So terrible. I decided, you know what? He needs a voice. So I gave him a voice. And I took footage from the show each week, recorded it, put it into the computer, and I scrubbed over footage of Aaron, which was perfect because after a while they realized he couldn't act. So what did they do? They allowed him to just eat all the time or had him nap.
He's just eating and sleeping, and that's
and
it.
And when he had to say a line, they would turn his head so that his mouth would be covered by a shoulder of another character, and they would overdub his line that they probably had 80 takes of that they had to do later because the kid can't act. I then gave him... He became a narrator for each episode, and I could scrub over footage of his mouth moving
Would give the fans a recap.
It was called Aaron's Lost Recap.
Last week's episode.
Yeah. And so
from his perspective.
From his limited 3-year-old perspective.
Right.
So many times he was afraid. Show was scary or just confused or everything was mysterious.
He had no idea what was going on.
And it was fun. And that led to another project being online, creating a whole Aaron Littleton Facebook profile where people, it's a new project. People still comment, ask him questions, all the stuff. The fans are insane for that show. Mm-hmm. And I love them. Thank you, fans of Lost. But one more layer was peeled back.
Which was?
For the newest project.
Which is?
Well, the layer that I peeled back, I decided to take out the visuals altogether.
Ooh.
Make it just audio. Make it a podcast.
Oh.
And that brings us to today.
Holy shit, am I in your project?
Alan, you are a pawn.
I gotta get the fuck out of here. I knew it. I knew I was being used by somebody somehow. I just didn't know how or where or why.
Yeah, but thank you. So yeah, this is a kind of fulfilling
welcome,
that road.
Yes, I'm doing all your work for you.
Alan, you joined me down this road.
I did. Yeah, we're holding hands.
Towards the end of the road, a beautiful sunset.
Yeah.
Skipping silhouettes.
Yeah.
Cascading back down the timeline of our past.
Mm-hmm.
Overshadowing all the mistakes, the bumps, the dips.
Wow, man. That's beautiful. That's very poetic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wrote that. Took me 5 months.
So what's the next step? Now that you've peeled away the visuals and we're just doing audio and we're doing a collabo proj.
Right.
What's the next step?
I'm going to peel back the audio. I am going to put online black. Just blank.
The color black.
Yeah, the color black.
For how long?
Well, you'll see a little bit of like gray fuzz in it. And just, you know, like a camera is playing with the lens cap on. That's what I'm going to do.
But no audio.
No audio.
No
but
picture.
But see, I added the video again.
See, now there's visual.
What I'm going to do is not make anything. Then I've peeled back every layer.
Wow, yeah. And then once you've done nothing,
then
you need to put layers back on and see how it looks.
Okay.
Well, Joel, I think that concludes our getting to know you better segment of the Friends Are Forming Animation Forum.
Wait, can computer take me out?
Yeah, but can you come right back afterwards?
Sure.
All right, so, hey, Joel, do you have any websites, anywhere where people can see your work, things that you want to plug coming up? Yeah.
You can go to awn.com /blogs/FFAF to catch all of my podcasts.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
While you're there,
you
could go over to the blog roll on the right-hand side, blog roll.
Okay, blog roll.
It has links to all of my other websites and yours.
Wow.
Or you could go to YouTube.com/JoelFrenzer1 to go to my channel.
Okay.
Or you could check out Aaron Littleton on Facebook.
Yes. Do it,
You could check out Aaron Littleton's tweets on Twitter. YouTube.com/AaronLittleton1 will go to his channel.
Jesus. You have a lot of websites.
None of them I've actually made.
Are yours.
No, not mine. Or you could go to Frenzer Foreman at Twitter.
That's right.
And talk to me there.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, thanks for spending some time with me.
And, hey, this was so much fun. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have you back sometime. All absolutely. Right. All right. All Joel right. Frenzer, everybody.
Wow.
Joel Frenzer. Computer. Well, that was fun, right?
What?
Joel, you got to come back in because I need a co-host now for the outro of the show. Yeah.
Hi.
So, well, that was fun.
That was
right.
That was great.
I feel like we learned a lot.
Fun time.
Yeah.
Wow. Good guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Alan.
Yeah.
We are about to embark on something.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Folks, Alan and I will be going out to Los Angeles. Let me just tell you. The lineup of who we have in LA is going to astound you, dear listeners. We are going to have back-to-back-to-back guests, powerful episodes, a whole month-long LA episode adventure. We are going to make this a West Coast perspective from the East Coast perspective.
Yeah.
Perspective Palooza.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Of podcasting.
So stay tuned, folks.
Comedy animation. So wait for that.
Yeah.
Coming soon. Alan, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Got your ticket?
Got it.
All right.
Let's go.
Got your bags?
I got my bags. I'm packed. I'm ready
to go.
Taxi's
here. We will see you in La La Land.
Goodbye for now.
Good night.
Bye. Take a cue from me, Brazil. Get your butt cheeks in order.